How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
All right, and I think we are live. Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I am your host, Harrison Fagan. Anthony Irwin is not with me tonight. Normally, he's my co-host. And if everybody could please just send him your thoughts and prayers right now. He's having a family issue. You guys, it won't go unappreciated. I'm on Facebook Live tonight, but as always, you can find our regular show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Today's Fast Break. I got that one right just for you, Anthony. Today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Use the promo code LOLAKERS to get a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase on SeatGeek. It's the best mobile application to buy tickets. Okay, so let's talk about the election. No, I don't think we want to do that. We're going to talk about the Lakers tonight. And so, you know, I think there are some positives. Their win streak came to an end. They'd won three games in a row coming into tonight against the Mavericks. I think this had to be one of the first games in which they were favored because, the Mavs were missing Dirk Nowitzki, and they were missing Deron Williams, and they already aren't that good of a team. I believe they were 1-5 coming into tonight. They got their second win. Harrison Barnes went 11 of 18 from the field for 31 points. I think that's his second 30-point game in a row. So, maybe Golden State gave up on the wrong small forward. But anyway, so the Lakers lost, and it just came down a lot to, they had a real scoring drought in the third quarter, the fourth quarter. They struggled. They actually scored 27 points in the first quarter, 27 points in the second quarter, and then 23 and 20 in the final two quarters. And so that, I think offense was really an issue tonight. And then obviously they got lit up by Barnes, which I think is as much on Luol Deng as anyone. And I think he has really struggled to start the season, and that's been something that's been continuing to happen, and it was an issue for the Lakers again tonight. And another issue is I think we have our first opportunity where we're going to question a rotation decision that Luke Walton made. And, his decision to put in Meta World Peace at times and try and shut down Barnes with him, I think was probably not the best move. And so that was a problem for the Lakers tonight. The team also, I'm looking through the stat line here, they definitely had too many turnovers. I see some of you guys commenting on that. They turned the ball over 16 times. I believe they're leading the NBA in turnovers, so that's a problem for them. But again, there were some positives to take away from this game. Nick Young started out the contest as hot as I think I've ever seen him. He scored 13 points in the first quarter and then only scored 7 the rest of the way to finish with 20 points, but he has still been one of the most surprising stories of the Lakers season so far, just in the way that he's been able to, really just be an NBA player, I guess. So I think that that's been probably the most shocking development of the season. Again, we've been over this a lot of times, but they've all, we've been over this ad nauseum. Everyone expected him to be cut. Everyone expected him to be traded or not on the team in some form or fashion, and he's been pretty good. He went 7-12 tonight for the 20 points like I was talking about. And so I think that's, again, that continues to be a story that the team has kind of resuscitated his career. I think another story tonight was Jordan Clarkson. He went for team high 22 points, 9 of 12 shooting. He was red hot from the field, hit two of his three pointers. And, he was just really good. And I can't help but feel like Locked On Lakers needs to take a little bit of credit for it. So Jordan is now averaging 22 points a game coming off of a appearance on Locked On Lakers. He was on Tuesday's episode, so you guys can go check that out on our iTunes or Audio Boom or any of the other platforms that I mentioned feeds. So, yeah, Jordan Clarkson was really good tonight. Obviously, the Lakers couldn't get it to they just couldn't get any offense going in the fourth quarter. They were turning the ball over, they were missing shots, and this is the kind of stuff that we have to expect from a young team. It's just going to happen. It's fun to get caught up in the wins. It's fun for them to go on a three-game winning streak and look like one of the better teams in the league and have all of their small sample size metrics paint them as that. But they just aren't there yet. They're too young. They're going to lose games like this, even against bad teams like the Mavericks. And the Mavericks are a bad team. The Lakers should have been favored over them. But they're a young team, and sometimes you're going to have letdowns. And that's just kind of what's going to happen. So, all right. So, I mean, those are my main couple takeaways from the game without really looking at your guys' questions. So let's take a look. Let me scroll through some of these and see what you guys wanted to know about. So I have Tyrion Vargas saying Lakers suck. I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I saw so Gregory Murphy, you're saying we missed Larry tonight. I think that was probably true. I think the Lakers did miss Larry, and I think that that's probably part of why we saw some of those weird lineup decisions by Luke, like Meta World Peace getting into the rotation. We saw I don't know that he would have played if Larry was playing. And I saw somebody else saying talking about small ball. So yeah, it was Brian Villaroman. You said, I know Luke loves playing small, but when Dallas went big late, we should have countered with Moss. We had zero interior presence or rebounding on both ends. I agree, that was an issue for the Lakers. There was a possession with about 4 minutes left where Wesley Matthews missed a pull-up jumper, and it looked like the Lakers had gotten a stop that they needed. Maybe they could come back and start a run, but the Mavericks managed to secure the offensive rebound. They tossed the ball back out to Wesley Matthews, who hit a three and gave the Mavs either a 10 or 11 point lead, and the game was kind of in the bag at that point. It was pretty much over. And so, you could talk about the lack of rebounding and maybe Luke's love of small ball being a problem for the team, but at the same time, you can't really criticize him for loving small ball and then get so excited as we all have when it works. And the last three games before this one, it did work. He was closing with the last game, he closed with Julius Randle at center and Brandon Ingram at power forward and then three guards. So, I mean, he's going to roll with small ball, it looks like, for better or worse. And there are going to be times when it works and there are going to be times when it doesn't. And so I think that, when as we're watching these games, we have to be prepared for both and we have to look for kind of growth from the Lakers. And I think that we did see that in some ways tonight. Like I said, Clarkson played really well. Lou Williams had like a little bit of a hot stretch, but then he really cooled off. But, Russell really got going in the third quarter. It looked like he was going. That was the other thing that maybe you could criticize Luke for was not putting Russell back in sooner or going away from him when he was so hot, because he really was just on fire. And so, I mean, I don't know. It's still hard for me to get too worked up over Luke Walton's rotation decisions, when again, this is, he's going through growing pains too. He was a head coach last year, interim for the Golden State Warriors, but that was a much better team, and he's still getting a feel for his best rotations for this team. We're only 8 games into the season. And so, yeah, they played in the preseason and all of that stuff, but this team is still learning how to win together. They're still learning their best lineups. And he's been really comfortable going with Larry and Julius down the stretch. And last game, that wasn't an option to him, so he went with Ingram. This game, that wasn't an option to him because Larry Nance Jr. still hasn't went through the NBA's concussion protocol. And so I think that Luke, that would be his preferred lineup to close. Maybe he should have went with Mozgov tonight, but I'm not sure that you can criticize the small ball and also get so excited when it works, like it did when they went on that 3-game winning streak. So let's see what else you guys are talking about. So, yeah, I see Eric Flynn, Harrison Barnes was the reason why the Mavs won tonight. He couldn't miss. I agree. We talked about that a little bit at the start of the show. I see Ian Howe. Do you think Deng is too expensive? Poor value for Lakers? I think I was in the majority that thought that that was a really good contract that the Lakers handed out, and that it, okay, so not really good as a stretch, but it was an acceptable contract in the climate of the summer, and it was an acceptable contract in terms of the first 2 years. And maybe on that third year, almost definitely by that fourth year, that contract starts to look a little bit iffy. But I think that we all kind of assumed that Deng was going to be a helpful player for the Lakers, but and we all kind of hoped that he was going to look good on the wing, and that really hasn't been the case. And I guess it really shouldn't be that surprising, considering that A, he came into the season with a little bit of a knee problem, and B, he was not very good for Miami as a wing last year. He played mostly power forward, and this year he's been playing almost exclusively at small forward. And so that's a problem. I mean, he did play power forward a bit tonight with Larry out, but with Julius and Larry both needing time there, he's not going to get a ton of power forward minutes, and that might be his best position already by this point in his career. It's too early to overreact. I think you still have to hope that maybe he gets a little bit healthy. But yeah, I mean, that contract might start to look bad, which is kind of crazy considering how good Mozgov has looked, that maybe that might end up being the better contract for the Lakers. But again, it's really early to be making predictions like that. So let's scroll through and see the comments. All right, Alvin Alarma does not like me very much. You guys can scroll up and check out his comments. He's not a fan. Mitch Todd Gray, Lou Williams overshot at the end. He was hot prior games, but the missed shot let us down. I agree. He really cooled off. He wasn't really getting to the line. He wasn't really getting to the line like you'd hope from Lou Williams tonight. That's why I was saying earlier. I really feel like D'Angelo Russell should have been back in there sooner. So I don't know. I mean, Luke's rolled with him when he's hot before. He wasn't really that hot tonight, so I don't totally get the decision to leave Lou Williams in there. Gregory Murphy, officiating was a little sketchy too. All right, so the last time I was on Facebook Live, it was during the preseason, so I kind of laughed about people complaining about officiating. But yeah, I mean, the Lakers, let's check out the foul disparity. Well, there wasn't that much of a free throw disparity. It was the Mavs shot 15 free throws to the Lakers 14. But the Mavs did get, maybe some questionable ones down the stretch. I think it's hard to blame the officials in a game where the free throws were that close and where the Lakers just kind of missed a lot of shots towards the end. I think I'd chalk it up more to them only making 78% of their free throws rather than, they just missed a couple more free throws than the Mavericks was the main thing. So I don't know. I'm not one to get super worked up about officiating, but it looks like there are quite a few of you that are not fans of the refs tonight. So that's your right. So yeah, I see Eric Flynn, officials gave a lot of calls to the Lakers early in the game. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like the officiating was that bad tonight. There were maybe a couple questionable calls down the stretch, but I don't think it was that big of a deal. I think ultimately the Lakers lost this game, not the officials. So Phil Correa, would Luke have to start Ingram at some point? I'm guessing that's in response to me talking about Deng's contract. I don't know. I think Ingram will probably start at some point. I don't think that we'll necessarily see that until after the All-Star break, but I think there's definitely a chance that Ingram start a better than zero chance that Ingram starts at some point this year. You might even start to see him get in there for, maybe some shooting guard minutes, although I don't know. I think at this point, having him as the backup point guard off the bench, or, quote unquote point guard off the bench, is kind of more helpful for the Lakers, or more, not necessarily more helpful for the Lakers, but more helpful for his development because he's getting more experience getting the ball in his hands than he would be in the starting lineup. Where in the preseason, when we saw him with the starters, he didn't start, but we would see him in lineups with a lot of scorers, and he would kind of look just kind of float around out there. And so I think getting the ball into his hands with those second units might be the best option right now. So Ryan Cavillo is asking, how many games do I see the Lakers winning on this road trip? I don't know. Let's check out their schedule. I'm gonna go ahead and pull that up right now. This is riveting radio, I'm sure. The Lakers' next game is at Sacramento, then they're at New Orleans, and then at Minnesota. I mean, I think there's, I can see 2-1. I can see 2-1. I'm not sure which one the loss is ultimately going to be. I think that November 13th game against Minnesota is going to be the most fun one to watch. You get Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins versus the Lakers young core of Russell, Ingram, Nance, hopefully Nance is back by then, Randall, Clarkson, all of those guys. So I think that should be a fun one to look forward to. I could see 2-1. I think maybe, maybe they draw, they really could drop any of these. I don't favor any of these teams over the other ones by an incredible amount. So I think 2-1 is a realistic expectation. This is a pretty weak slate of road trip. So let's go through. Let's see what else you guys want to talk about. So I think Bhavin, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name right, but Bhavin Patel asked, why did we keep Thomas Robinson over Anthony Brown again? I think they kept him for front court insurance, but that decision seems to make a little bit less sense when Luke's kind of priority seems to be to go small at every opportunity. So it is a little bit of a weird decision. But again, the Lakers also have a lot of wing depth, so I can understand it from that perspective that he probably wouldn't have gotten a lot of playing time either. I don't know that we can really chalk up the Lakers' loss tonight to Thomas Robinson versus Anthony Brown, or really any of their struggles. Both of those guys were ultimately and are ultimately going to be bit players for the Lakers this year, as long as everybody stays healthy. So Ian Howe asks again, do you think the Lakers are challenged against zone? Well, they don't have a ton of shooting, so I can see, I mean, they did struggle a little, they didn't seem to struggle tremendously against it tonight, but they don't have a ton of shooting, and their half-court sets aren't the smoothest yet, so they could struggle a little bit against the zone at times, but I think that that was less a function of the Lakers' struggles against zones, and more the Mavericks just not having a whole lot of defenders, and needing to try and find a way to gum up the Lakers and get them in trouble with something that maybe they hadn't necessarily prepared for. So that's kind of my takeaway on the zone. Phil Correa, I'll agree with this assessment, dude. Do you think Luke will go with the three-guard rotation? I'm not sure if you mean playing three-guard lineups or with a three-guard rotation as in, as the lead ball handler, where we have Clarkson, Russell, and Williams. But I think either way, I think we will see more three-guarded lineups, and I think that we will see, I don't think that Calderon and Huertas, as of right now, are going to be playing very much. I think that we've kind of seen that so far throughout the season. It looks like those guys are mainly going to be break glass in case of emergency injury insurance. Again, Lou Williams really cooled off at the end of the game tonight, but he's been amazing to start the season. He's been really helpful, and so I don't think that you can excise him from the rotation. You definitely don't want to get Russell or Clarkson out of the rotation while they're developing, and so I think that we are going to see that kind of three-guard rotation, and we are going to see some lineups where Clarkson is at the three. We saw that against the Suns the other night. So I think we're going to see a lot of that kind of stuff, of both of those kind of things. I didn't really, you didn't specify in the question, so I'm trying to answer both. But anyway, so I think that's going to about do it for this live edition of Locked On Lakers, unless I see some more questions pop up here. But it looks like we're not getting a whole lot more, so I'm going to go ahead. This is going to be a shorter episode of Locked On Lakers. We're going to try and come back strong for you guys with a longer episode on Thursday. So anyway, we're not always on Facebook Live, but you can find all of our shows on iTunes, Audio Boom, Silver Screen and Roll, Today's Fast Break, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And yeah, not SoundCloud. We're still working on SoundCloud. That's the ongoing joke. And so you can find all of our shows there. Again, use SeatGeek if you want to get tickets to Lakers games or any other sporting events or concerts or anything like that. Use the promo code LOLakers. You get a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase. And so that's a great deal. We're trying to save you guys money. And I really appreciate everyone tuning in to Locked On Lakers. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks, everyone.